On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it is WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen, normally about this time we have with us Master Gardener Tom Ford. And I know that you heard last week we had the annual Christmas plant show that was an encore presentation. We hope you understood that, as we mentioned it a couple of times, from 2022. And the reason was Tom was quite under the weather, as you know, and he had discussed this. I was surprised how Frankie wasn't discussing some of the bouts he's had with cancer and the treatments and having to go through a second round of them. But then he ended up getting a pneumonia and COVID on top of that. And unfortunately, earlier this week, Tom Ford passed away. Tom Butzler, who has graciously, at Tom's suggestion, by the way, filled in for him when he was not able to make it, is on the line with us. Tom is a horticultural extension educator with Penn State. And you would work with Tom Ford for how long, sir?
Probably close to 20 years now. So I worked with him quite a while.
He was just a great guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was unique. I mean, he was a character, and I mean, he was really loved within the group of educators that worked on horticulture. Not only because of his knowledge, I mean, he was like an encyclopedia, Doug. But, you know, he always had your back and was willing to help. And so, I mean, you know, what more could you ask for in a coworker? So,
yeah.
I don't know. Did you ever see the movie Saving Private Ryan?
No, but I know of it. I've seen scenes from it.
Okay. So at the end of it, Private Ryan, he's an older man. He's visiting the gravesite of his leader, his captain. And Private Ryan, an older gentleman now, turns to his wife, and he asks his wife, "Was I a good man?" And, you know, I think for a man, I don't know what women think, but I think for men, I think that's what a lot of us strive to be, and I think that that's a really high honor. And I'd like your audience to know that Tom was a good man. He was a really good man.
He seemed that way in regards to his family. We didn't talk about it in great detail, but he made a lot of time for them. And especially
yes.
Over the past couple of years when he was fighting the cancer, I get the feeling that he and his wife, Laura, wanted to really make sure that they did some things together, and they did try to do that, and they get to travel to a bunch of places that, just happened to have gardens at them. Because I'm sure they were both quite interested.
Dipping.
Yeah.
You mentioned the family thing. It's kind of interesting. I mentioned the encyclopedia knowledge. I mean, he could remember facts and figures from reading something 8 years ago, but he also took that down to a personal level, because whenever you interacted with Tom, he would always ask about your family. And he recalled the conversation you had the year before and the year before that. So it was a progression, you know, of your family that he was asking about, and he wanted to stay abreast of it. So not only, you know, was he involved with his family, but he wanted to know about yours, and it made it, you know, a very nice personal relationship.
Yeah, just as an FYI to anybody, I don't think that we have to do it as a disclosure or something. His son Sean worked here for a brief time about 12 years ago. Now it seems strange to think, because I thought it was just a few years ago, and I asked somebody else, it's like, no, 2012. But Sean had worked in our sales department and went on to other things, and it was kind of cool to have him here for a while. And but I know that that Tom was very interested in spending time with them and doing that. And as far as the encyclopedic memory, I am amazed. I remember we'd been doing the show over 10 years at this point, and somebody called in and asked a question. And for the first time, he said, "I don't know." But he was able to find he found out during the commercial. I said, "Mark this on the calendar. It's never happened before. It'll never happen again." And he said,
"Yeah, probably
he wanted,
not."
He didn't want to make up an answer. He wanted to actually know what the answer was. And he said, "I don't know, but I'll find out." And just in the end, when we were doing the shows live during the weekdays, during the commercials, he took 3 minutes. He found out the information and was able to explain it far better than most people who would just look something up. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me in the sense that, you know, he always had an answer. You know, in our line of work, Doug, we're interacting with growers. We're trying to educate them, give them fact-based information. And there are times when questions are asked, and you don't want to lie. You don't want to, give them a line. So you'll often say, I'll get back to you. I'll find that information out. I have never heard Tom said, I'll get back to you. So that's right in line with, you know, your interactions with them. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, well, this is why we'd sometimes say, you know, send an email before the show and Tom will research something if he had to. But yeah. It was amazing. I mean, I don't know. Can you have any idea of the number of growers and farms and people that he talked to on a regular basis over the course of a month?
No, I don't. When he was up and about during the growing season, he was always outside. I mean, just visiting farm to farm to farm. I've never really asked him how many farms he visited in a day. Sometimes I think that maybe he did a lot, but others I think that he probably didn't get to too many each day because he would get to a farm and he would just start talking. And the growers would just start throwing questions at him and he would just keep on talking. So it's an interesting question or a good question. I don't know, but he would visit a lot of farms in his area during the growing season. And then, of course, we did the winter meeting circuit and he had a couple winter meetings down in his area every year. And it was always packed with growers. But, you know, because of Tom's knowledge, he was highly sought at other meetings throughout the state. And so I always included him in my meetings up in Clinton County, up in Jefferson County. But he was also a sought after speaker at the Mid-Atlantic Vegetable Convention, which is down in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And that's a 4-day event. And I bet you in those 4 days, he'd give 5, 6, 7 talks, which, you know, is a lot. I usually give 1 or 2. But, you know, people sought him out and wanted to get him on the program and know that people would want to attend those talks.
I don't know that he'd agree that it seemed he knew just about everything, but he would probably say, well, not really. The other thing about him was he had a very understated sense of humor, because occasionally it would come through when somebody would ask a question or they just would not let go of an idea. And he was trying to explain to him, no, you don't understand what you're talking about, but I'm trying to do it in a diplomatic way. Then you would hear it on the air. Off the air, it was nothing that you couldn't say or talk about on the air, but off the air, he'd be a little looser with that humor from time to time.
Sure. We all try to be professional and everything in front of a crowd. But yeah, he did have a witty sense of humor, and it was kind of subtle. I mean, it wasn't like in your face, but yes, you could pick it up. He's fun. He was fun to be around.
Yeah. I mean, he had a great run as a master gardener. I mean, on the Penn State website, it said 39 years. It's probably been longer since that was put online. It said he had degrees from University of Maryland, Frostburg State. I know that he usually talked about, if he talked about having worked somewhere else, he also worked in North Carolina, but he was a master gardener with Extension in Maryland for years before he came to Penn State.
Yeah, he was, you know, as you stated before, he had a couple other states where he was within their extension programs, but by far the majority of his time has been spent up here in Pennsylvania. And I'm pretty sure, as far as I know, I think it's dying around, you know, the Altoona area, those surrounding counties. I don't think it's been anywhere else.
Yeah. But it's great that he was able to help so many people with this stuff. And heaven knows, off the air, we had an hour show, but that doesn't mean that I would shut up afterwards. I'd ask him all these other questions that I didn't get to on the air, because it's like, oh, this is about some plant I saw. Who cares, compared to having a listener call and talk about a problem with a tree or something. But he was very patient. He answered all the questions. And, I occasionally text him a picture or something. Then he'd text, you know, I could 5 minutes. And he certainly didn't look it up. Oh, well, that's such and such and such and such. And this is what you want to know about it. So, you know. Yeah, the phone tag thing occasionally during the weeks when the show was not on was pretty good. And again, he just seemed to know everything.
Yeah. But, you know, it was more than just his knowledge base, Doug. Some other things that I'd like to point out is when we would have new educators come into the workforce for Penn State Extension, it's important with any new educator to provide them a mentor, to understand how the system works, how to interact with growers, how to put on these presentations and meetings and so forth. And almost all the time when we had a new horticulture educator come into the system, our superior, our boss, our higher administrator, whatever his exact title is, would pair up that new educator with Tom as the mentor. And it wasn't because so much the knowledge issue. That's not what this mentor was to be. It was to how to be an extension educator. So Tom would, throughout the, you know, about a year, maybe a little longer than that, would interact with these new employees to mentor them to be good extension educators. Now, I didn't say he did all of them, because otherwise he wouldn't be able to visit farms and interact with growers. But by far, he got the majority of new employees coming in because he did a good job.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's just rare to get to work with somebody like that who knows that much and also can just, in a very low-key way, point people in the right direction to things without people even realizing how much he's doing for you.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, you know, like he had this encyclopedic knowledge. He was a good mentor, and he was innovative. And when I say innovative in the extension realm. I mean, the ideas he would come up with to try to get, bring some new ideas to the growers. He would come up with some really good ways to interact, to present the knowledge. To where the growers were interested and stayed engaged. So, you know, so for an example, not that this is so much innovative, but for him to think about this, you know, the pandemic hit and we were curtailed on the meetings we could hold. We weren't allowed to hold any face-to-face.
All right.
So I was talking to Tom over the phone early on in that pandemic, and he said, well, why don't we put together some old-fashioned workbooks that we could get to the growers so they could get their credits for the pesticide license? The Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture really didn't discontinue the need for pesticide credits. They said you still have to get them, even in the face of this pandemic. So Tom came up with this idea to develop a suite of these workbooks so that growers could work through them, do some interactive activities, and get their pesticide credit so they can maintain their license and continue their operation. And, you know, I kind of followed his lead on that. And, you know, we put together one on sweet corn, and we put one on pumpkins. And we sold a couple thousand of those to growers so that they could get their licenses, maintain their licenses. So, you know, he was innovative.
Yeah, it was. You mentioned the thing about dealing with COVID protocols. That was something that I found a bit frustrating, because if those who listen for a long time realize, Tom used to come in to the WRTA studios to do the show, and for the longest time, not because he had COVID at the time or anything, that wasn't it. It's just Penn State just said, I'm sorry, you can't do stuff in person anymore.
Yeah.
So if you can do it by phone, which included this show, it's not certainly not as important as meeting with a grower at their farm or something. We went exclusively by the phone, so I hadn't seen Tom in some time. But
okay.
it was still great to talk to him once a month, or just, like I say, text a quick picture about something. He says, oh, yeah, we can talk about this in the next show, and let me tell you this story about it, you know, just off a picture you'd send him.
Yeah. You know, I do think in the back of his head he wasn't sure how this whole thing was going to play out for him. And you know, Tom being the just a great worker and committed, he put together a whole slew of presentations in case he couldn't make the meetings. I'm not sure, you know, he knew how far this was going to go, but he knew he was sick and unable to go to some of these meetings. So he prepped for this winter meeting season, these presentations, so that if, you know, he couldn't by chance make a meeting, he was able to give the presentation to other educators at the various meetings he was scheduled to appear at. In addition, I was talking to one of our coworkers who maintains the our website and posts all these news articles and things like that, that Tom sent, I think she said, 30 articles in our archive just to be periodically be released in the upcoming weeks and upcoming months, just in case, you know, he was under the weather and unable to produce anything. He stockpiled them, I mean, wrote them and held them in reserve and ready to go. So, I mean, I don't think that far in advance, but Tom was. So I just kind of give you an idea how dedicated of a coworker he was.
Well, it's great that some of that work that he did will continue to live on and will help other people. And who knows for how long. I mean, some of that stuff could be used for years now.
Yeah. And most of the stuff are from recent results, recent findings, and so forth. So they should be, you know, applicable for the next several years. Yeah.
All right. So if people, and we have links to this on the podcast that we've done for the show with the extension Facebook page and some of the others that that we've discussed. So if people want to check those, and I don't know, we have years of the annual Christmas plan show. As I said, that was pre-recorded from 2022 that ran last week on WRTA. We may use that in some form in the future, but I'm heartened that at least you may be able to continue with us for some time here. Like I said, when Tom was first ill, he had an accident one time, and he knew he wasn't going to be able to make it. I said, well, do you have any suggestion for somebody? Oh, yeah, there's this other guy, Tom Butzler. Let me put you in touch with him. And you've been very good to fill in for him when he has not been available, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. And thank you for being able to continue.
No problem.
Yeah.
No problem. You know, Tom has always helped me out and bailed me out in some situations. And, you know, I would never say no to Tom when he asked me to assist on something or cover for him. So I am more than happy to participate in this.
When you're an extension educator or master gardener, as you and Tom have been, well, I mean, this may seem like an obvious question, and I think most people understand it, but what do you see is the purpose that you have in doing this job?
Yeah, so I think for Tom and I both, you know, we just really like working with plants in the world of horticulture. And then it's a natural fit for those individuals that are making a living from working with plants, growing things. And so the idea of combining those two, you know, the love of plants and working with people who also love plants and they're making a living from it, is a really good fit. And then you throw on that we're educators, we're teachers. And, you know, folks that really like that trade, that craft, get excited when they interact with their students. In this case, it would be your farmers, your growers, and they show a genuine interest to learn more about plants, more about diseases and insects that affect those plants. And when you see your audience, in this case, growers and farmers, excited and engaged, it makes you as an educator feel really good. It feels like you're helping somebody. And ultimately, that's what it is. I think we feel good helping people, and in this case, it's dealing with plants.
You know, I often thought the reason I was interested in all this is because my dad was just an incredible backyard gardener. He wasn't a professional by any stretch of the imagination, but he would experiment with stuff. Sometimes it would work. Most of the time it did. Sometimes it didn't. You learn and you move on. And I often imagine that he and Tom would have been able to sit down and have like this three-hour conversation where neither of them realized how much time had passed, and I would just be sitting there listening to the whole thing because Tom was able it's one thing to have the knowledge, but it's a talent to be able to explain it so well to so many people, and that's what he did over the years for us here at WRTA.
Absolutely, Doug. I interact with my kids all the time, and, you know, a couple of them have gone to college, and, you know, we talk about some of the professors they interact with and run into, and in my experience also, you could be listening to the smartest person talking about chemistry or plants or whatever it is. They could be really smart individuals, but if they do not have the ability to transfer that knowledge to the audience, and in a manner that the audience, you know, is receptive to and can get excited about, it's kind of a waste of time. So you do have to have that educator, that teacher, that can transfer that knowledge in an appropriate manner.
Tom Butzler, thank you very much. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Yes, thank you, Doug.